This is a Sunday night seminar on Christianity and technology. I'm Adam King, and it is March 8th. Okay. Later on, mixed response on the Bible has a lot to say about technology. As I went to study this, I was very pleasantly surprised about how much the Bible has to say about technology and actually how early the Bible starts talking about it. Maybe another pop quiz later, but the Bible does have a lot to say about technology. Let's pray and get started, and we'll jump right in. Father, thank you for this opportunity to apply your truth to something that is very rapidly growing. The tools that we have at our disposal are powerful and have the capability of expanding our own power as individuals to heights that we haven't seen in a long time. Lord, but that does not faze you, and you are in control of all of it. And so I pray that you would help us to think biblically about the subject. That's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's start out by asking what technology is. As you look at that nice logo, you're probably thinking about pixels. At least that's what I think about when I look at that really cool logo that Carly came up with for technology. When we think of technology, we really think of, in this year of 2026, we think about this, don't we? The immense power we have in a little rectangle that we all keep in our pockets. Incredible time to be alive with the abilities we have, the capabilities we have with this little rectangular thing in our pocket. But technology, let's get a definition of it. And before that, let's look at where we're going. If you haven't read the little blurb, I'm speaking about technology and power. Chris will be talking about technology in our brain. Nathan Jones will be teaching about technology and education, specifically focusing a little bit on AI, but other things too that are important in learning. And then Rich on technology and a dawdling faith. So I think that'll be really good roadmap for us as we look at technology. But what is it? Tony Reinke wrote a book that I found extremely helpful. It was available for free. It must be that most people picked them up. God, Technology, and the Bible. I think that's the right title. But he says this in that book: technology is applied science and amplified power. We amplify our native power through new techniques. That's what technology, technology. So it's applied science, meaning we observe the universe around us, the world around us, and see how it operates. That's science. That's in the most basic nutshell version of what science is. We often put a big capital S on it in our culture and in our day. But science is simply the observation of the known universe and seeing how it works. And so it's science, applied science, meaning it's to a specific purpose, and amplified power, making our capabilities expand beyond what is just natural to us and our human bodies. Oops, went a little ahead there. So we amplify our techniques through technology. It's the ability to manipulate certain elements of creation for our purpose. That's a way we could look at amplified power. And if we think about the ability to manipulate certain elements of creation for our purpose, how early do we see this particular theme in the scriptures? The ability to manipulate certain elements of creation for our purpose. Okay, made clothes. Let's go a little bit before that. Before the fall. Naming animals, okay, yeah. That's science, right? Okay, that's the applied science of, what would you call that? I can't remember the name of it, that science. Zoology, yeah, right. Yeah, our ability to generalize. Okay, yeah. It's actually prescribed and described about us. Exercise dominion over the birds of the sea and over the fish of the air. amplified power, manipulating certain elements of creation for our purpose. I believe that's a solid and fine definition for dominion, exercising dominion. We were created to do that before the fall. So I'm not going to try and lead y'all too far into how you start thinking about technology, but I think that that should help us in how we think about technology. It's really easy. I'll tell you what's going on in my heart. It's really easy to look at our technologies and feel kind of doomsday-ish about it. But we're looking at before the fall, exercise dominion over creation. So we amplify our power through new technique. We take a want or a need, and we manipulate the environment in ways that enhance the desired outcome. And right now, the reason when we think about technology, we think about the little thing in our pockets and the power that it has. Tony Reinke says this, of all the sustainable things in the universe, from a planet to a star, from a daisy to an automobile, from a brain to an eye, the thing that is able to conduct the highest density of power, the most energy flowing through a gram of matter each second, lies at the core of your laptop. It's crazy to think about. I'll read it again. It's pretty powerful. Of all the sustainable things in the universe, from a planet to a star, from a daisy to an automobile, from a brain to an eye, the thing that is able to conduct the highest density of power, the most energy flowing through a gram of matter each second, lies at the core of your laptop. Yes, the tiny microprocessor conducts more energy per second, per gram, through its tiny corridors than animals, volcanoes, or even the sun. Okay, so when we think about technology and we think about applied power or amplified power, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of power per gram. We are able to do a lot with this current technology that we have in our pockets. So as we study technology in these 4 weeks, we'll be asking, how will we wield this power? How will we wield this power that we have? It's an important question. And when we think about Christianity and technology, how does God want us to use the technology that we have? Does he want us to throw it away? Does he want us to keep it? Does he want us to use it for a very specific purpose? All questions we should be asking. We really shouldn't want the technologies that we have any other way. We wouldn't want this world really to be any different. And if we think about it, technology, yes, that's a lot of power, and that's scary just to think of the immense amount of power. But really, we wouldn't want to have it any other way, that we have technology available to us, things that amplify our power through applied science. Augustine was able to say many praiseworthy things about the intellect of fallen sinners. Really, truly. He mentioned sauces, the culinary arts, and Tony Reinke puts in parentheses, yes, that means Chick-fil-A sauce. He looked at all kinds of sciences and fields of knowledge that people have, that fallen sinners have, and how they apply it. And wow, what a wonderful thing. The Chick-fil-A sauce that we have is a part of the science, our technique. And you think of specifically Chick-fil-A sauce, how they put it in that neat little package and little foil. I mean, all of that comes from human ingenuity and the common grace that God gives us to think about the things that we need and that we want, and to be able to procure them and to expand them and to multiply it. So he was able to say many praiseworthy things about the intellect of fallen sinners. But he asked, where will we direct the ultimate praise? Where will we direct the ultimate praise? Who will we give the praise for the good things that God has given us? What will we do with these technologies, with this science that we have? Take the Chick-fil-A sandwich, as we talked about the sauce, and think about that for a second. I worked there at Chick-fil-A, and you might have come through the line many times when I'm back there working in the kitchen, and there are these pressure fryers that can cook so much chicken so fast, and other technologies that go into you getting a nice meal, a lunch that is hot and fresh and delivered by some people who are also using a lot of technologies to make that possible. One of the most efficient drive-through systems ever. All takes technology. It's not evil in and of itself. We just look at the Chick-fil-A sandwich alone. It's not evil in and of itself, right? McDonald's. McDonald's is, yeah. I went through a drive-thru. It was a Wendy's? Bojangles. I can't remember. I went through a drive-thru, and it was clear that as I was putting in my order, that it was not a person I was talking to. I was shocked. And also, my order was accurate. As this AI bot took my order, essentially. I gave it my order. It says, it clarified something I asked for. It said, did you want a medium or a large? And it asked all the questions I wanted it to ask. And so here come the doomsdayers in the group. We're not going to have any jobs. And I know I was one of them as I was thinking about this topic. We're not going to have any jobs as soon as technology takes over, right? Our technologies, the AI. I'll leave that to Nathan Jones. As he talks about AI. And hopefully he listens to this and hears my very positive attitude towards technology. But let's get into what the scriptures say. What does it say about technology? And very early on, we've already noted how in Genesis 1, God commanded us to have to exercise dominion over nature. But let's look at after the fall, just shortly after the fall. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after his son, Enoch. So he built a city. That's point number one. Do I click here to go? Then Enoch was born Irad, and Irad fathered Mahujael, and Mahujael fathered Methushael, and Methushael fathered Lamech. And Lamech took two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the other was Zillah. Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. So we have a city built. We have tents, dwelling places, and livestock, keeping of livestock. Much technology that goes into that. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. We have musical instruments now. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Okay, yeah, don't want to go that far. All right, so right here, Genesis chapter 4. Stop. I don't know if I'm doing that or someone else, but or if it just wants to move forward in the scripture, I don't know. But it's the technology. Yeah, it's taking over. We have a city built, tents and livestock, musical instruments, and the forging of metals, all within just a few paces from the fall, Genesis chapter 3. And there is no comment made about the positive or negative nature of these things being created. But they are made. I say created. They are made, taken out of the dust of the earth, so to speak, and forged for the specific purposes of keeping animals, of making dwelling places, of beauty, listening to music. And as I look at bronze and iron, I think of weapons and the things that come with bronze and iron. Many other things come from bronze and iron. And we can think about our technologies as manipulating specifically metals. And then the most powerful thing that we talked about, silicone. We are able to manipulate the things in this earth for our purposes. But no judgment is made on the fact that this happened. It's just stated that these technologies are made. Stuff to be able to listen to music, to be able to live in a place. Now, it comes from a genealogy and lineage of people who are not worshiping and praising God, right? They are not walking with God, this whole descendants, all these descendants of Cain. So we might be tempted to think, well, this is part of the problem, right? That we have technology at all. It's because of these fallen human creatures. But before we start thinking about it in those terms, let's look at the next passage in Genesis that's relevant to the study, 6:11 through 22. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. What does this have to do with technology, those first few verses? Any technologies mentioned in those verses from the preceding chapter or preceding chapters 4:16 through 22? This pronouncement of God, it's corrupt and it's violent. What does he describe as being corrupt and violent? Is it the technologies themselves? It's the flesh. Yeah, it's the people. It's the people who have corrupted their way on the earth. Again, no judgment on the technologies themselves. I'm sure they were using them for evil purposes. They were using the bronze and the iron. But the problem is the man that's using them. And we can prove this even further by saying, God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself, then, an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. Here's our technology. Pitch. Tar. What a great technology, right? We think about tar, right, when we think about technology. But really, really important to think about here. He says, God tells Noah, become an engineer. Start manipulating the wood and make it a certain length and a certain height, and make sure that you cover it inside and out with pitch. Why tar? Why did he tell him to do that? Any engineers who would take a stab at why cover it with tar? He said, I'm about to destroy the whole earth. Make it leak-proof. Make it seaworthy. And maybe Max will have a little bit more to say about ways we make things seaworthy now. But yeah, God is commanding him to take or to exercise dominion in this way. Create a new technology, something that has never been seen before. The waters that were flowing through the earth at that time were rivers, right? That was their most common experience, rivers. There are four of them listed in the beginning of the Bible. A ship of this size. We've seen plenty of adaptations of this in film and in our you know, Sunday schools for kids, right? We think of the ark as being this massive boat, and people were just laughing at Noah. What in the world are you doing? This is insane what you're trying to create here. But he applies himself to creating what God commanded him to do using technology, tar, to be able to create what God was going to save the world through. Use this technology to help rescue mankind, the animals, all of living flesh. So, and he says, make a roof for the ark, finish it to a cubit above, set the door of the ark in the side, make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you, male and female, birds, animals, according to their kinds, two of every sort. Make sure they have food to eat. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. So God is using technology for good. And writers better than myself have talked about the ark as a picture of deliverance made out of wood. And one of the cruelest technologies ever invented was a cross. And people found a way to torture in about the most grotesque and shameful way possible through technology, two pieces of wood nailed together along with some nails. And how did God deliver mankind? Through the worst invention ever, through a cross. So God delivers using our technologies, even the worst of them. If you guys haven't picked up on what I'm thinking about technology, I hope you're getting a picture here through these scriptures. But he says, make it waterproof, make it seaworthy. And Noah did all that God commanded him. We too are able with our technologies to do all that God commands us. He has a will and a desire for us. And we can follow in Noah's footsteps here to do all that God commands of us, utilizing the technologies that we have. All right, so this is a good picture of technology. Let's look at another bad one. Or let's look at a bad one now. Now, the whole earth had one language and the same words. This is Genesis 11. And as the people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen, tar, for mortar. How old were people in this time? Do you remember the lists of names and how old they lived? How closely related were these people in Genesis 11 to Noah? Would they have known him maybe? Good chance. At least a pretty close relationship, right? And so we have these people who have survived or are a product of Noah surviving the flood, the children of Noah, and who would have known Noah and how God delivered and rescued Noah from his destruction of the whole earth and how he did it. How did he do it? With an ark covered with tar. And so they said, that tar stuff, what are we going to do with that? And guess what? We've found a new way to make bricks. We're going to burn them thoroughly to make them really strong and less brittle. All right, so they have a new technology and an old technology, and they put them together. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what Steve Jobs did when he created the iPhone, right? He says, okay, we have a mouse. What if I can make it smaller? What if I made it a finger? I think I've heard him saying this. What if I made it your own finger? The ability to click and manipulate, right? And he's, what if? He dreamed. What if I could take these technologies that we have and make them available to you and something that fits in your pocket. And he dreamed it, and it was. He took his ingenuity and the ingenuity of many other people and created something incredible. And this is what they were doing, right? Let us make bricks, burn them thoroughly, take an old technology and a new one. And what are they going to do with that? They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse our language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. So we have a new technology and an old one. Fired bricks, waterproofed. Waterproofed. What were they doing building this tower that's waterproof? They wanted to make a name for themselves. No more God, please, and thank you. We're going to be God. We're going to make a name for ourselves. We're going to be praiseworthy by building this tower into the heavens. We're going to rebel against the God, our maker, who said, fill the earth and subdue it. Spread out. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to build a tower, and we're going to stay right here. Thank you very much. And to boot, we know that if we put some tar on these bricks, it'll be waterproof. Good luck flooding us now. We'll go up to the highest point in the sky. I think God was pretty displeased with them in their use of this technology, right? This knowledge that they had, the relationship to Noah, knowing that this tar would keep them waterproof, keep God from judging them, destroying them, and they will make a name for themselves. So, yes, we can look at our times right now and our technology and think, oh, it's pretty dark. It's pretty dark. It's all the stuff we have now is just another Tower of Babel. And in some ways, I think you might be right, what we are able to do with our technologies. But what does God do? If you're a little bit doomsday-ish, let's look at this picture and learn something. God comes down, and I can just picture him measuring the tower. Yeah, sticking his head down. Interesting size tower you have here. Me who made the universe and all that's in it, who measures it with the palm of my hand. And he just comes down to look at it, sizing it up, measuring it. Is it anything for God, this technology? No. No. If you're tempted to think we're going to destroy ourselves, well, maybe. But God measures up the situation and he intervenes. He confuses their language as a grace to them. It is a grace to them that their language is confused so that they might spread throughout the whole earth. So he measured up the achievement. Their heart attitude towards God was wicked, but it measured up in no way to God's power. God's power was greater. And Reinke says that when he confused the language, he made unanimity or unanimous decisions impossible at that point. That's what they were doing. They were gathering together and all their applied science and their might and technology in order to make a name for themselves, to do something, because they can work together as a unit, as a whole. But now he applies this to one of our technologies, facial recognition. Reinke talks about facial recognition and how Delta Airlines uses it or use it in at least a dozen airports to be able to board you on your flight rather than going through the whole ticketing process and all that. We can just look at your face and know, okay, you are who you say you are, and you move on through. And we're like, thanks, that's great. Or I can, no one's going to be able to get into this thing that's really powerful and has all my money because I can look at my phone and it just opens up, right? We're thankful for this technology. But in China, how are they using this facial recognition software? Does anyone know? Spy on people. Yeah, and do all kinds of other things to execute massive control over their people, a massive amount of control and power, and abuse of power, I would say, through this facial recognition technology, to the point where there have been many protests and rebellions, people taking some technologies, hammers, Sawzalls, and some other technologies that we have, some more crude elements, and tearing down these facial recognition hubs where these where the government is spying on them. And so we have some people on one side of the planet who are saying, look at this great technology, it's awesome. And it is. But we have some other people saying, look at how it's being twisted and used. And unanimity, because we have different languages, we can't get together and say, let's make a name for ourselves with this technology. Let's see how high we can ascend. Will it spell the doom of us all as our languages become less and less confused through our AI software? Again, I'll leave that to Nathan. and let's talk about technology, our desires, the intellect, and the will. If technology is, as we defined it, applied science and amplified power, we amplify our native powers through new techniques. Let's talk about us as individuals and what we do. Keep clicking this, it's really sensitive. Technology with desire, intellect, and will. Online shopping, social media, gaming, audiobooks, Spotify, the Bible app, our calendar, our email, our cars, our smartwatches. They all do something for us. They all present us with an opportunity, various ways to fulfill what? Our desire. Our desire. Let's talk about that for a minute. How is online shopping beneficial? Can fulfill our desires? We can go through this list and I think have some good discussion here. Saves time, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Lots of things we can't access locally. Yeah, we have some online shopping. What's the darker side of that? We can spend a lot more. Yeah, we can spend less and we can spend more based on our desires, can't we? Oh, yeah. They sure can, can't they? Oh, man, yeah. Hey, Carly, what's this $6.99 charge on Amazon? And we go and do some hunting and, oh, they rented a movie. They rented a movie, didn't they? How they did it. Lily has a capacity to remember numbers. It's insane. We were in Hilton Head and she remembered the code to get into the apartment. She still knows it. If you ask her, she'll tell you what it is right now. So, yeah, our pens don't even keep us safe.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
She helps us. All right, social media. Let's look at that one and our desire. What's the positive side of it? Yeah. You want to stay in touch with people who are far away. Didn't used to be able to do that. Yeah. Yeah. Pictures. Yeah. Yeah. My mom, who's really not technologically savvy, she texted me. She said, I saw a picture that Carly posted on Facebook, and that's really great. Love to see your kids having fun and playing. All right. Any other positive things in social media? It's hard to... He said, no, that's good. Yeah. We can get the gospel out pretty widely through our social media, depending on how you define social media. YouTube, Instagram, the reels, one-minute clips, packaging the gospel in 1 minute. And then we swipe on to the next thing, and it's a who knows what as we swipe on to the next thing and see what it gives us. Yeah, absolutely. Some of my favorite comedians I find on social media, I discover them that way. And then I go to the YouTube channel, because that's the technology I desire to use to watch my favorite comedians. But yeah, okay, so what about the dark side of social media?
False gospels about their
pastor. Yeah, false gospels. Think about the minute-long clip, right? This will probably be something for Nathan's seminar. What are we getting from a minute-long clip? Something that sounds really good. No context. Potentially manipulated by AI. Potentially, et cetera, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about desire. I want to make you feel small. I want to make myself feel big. I want to make myself feel awesome. Look awesome. Everyone's going to look at my account and they're going to think, wow, he's got it together. His family life, his finances, everything is picture perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Comparison comes with that, right? As we measure ourselves by what we see on a screen. Yeah.
The number of suicides that have occurred because of things on social media.
Yeah.
It's horrible. That's all the scammers.
Yeah.
Some people are setting their moral compasses by what social media is telling
them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They set their moral compass by the masses, right? Set my moral compass by popular vote. What is everyone saying about this? Right? I get to know. I get all the information I want. Blink of an eye. Gaming. What about gaming? Let's look at positive, guys. I know some of you guys might be like, gaming. Yeah, Carly's back there going like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a connection. Yeah. There's a social element to gaming now. Yeah. Where I used to get together for a Halo party. How are you raising your hand?
Yeah, but you would start, you go to fish.
Yeah. I used to get together in a room with other people and split screen and multiple screens in the room connected to a cable, and we all played Halo together. And man, it was great times with the Doritos and the Mountain Dew, and I still have a problem. And Yes. Yeah, some of the most important relationships to me, Chris and Nathan, were built over, started over Halo in the dorms. Would you ever believe it? Thank you, gaming. What's that?
John Bradley changed my mindset on that.
Yeah.
Because he's so confined to his bed all the time when he's, you know, having a flare or whatever, but he built essentially an outreach through video games where he was able to play with other people and connect with them and share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I had not ever thought of that until he was talking about it.
Yeah. And I think there's a strong connection with problem-solving skills. If you do some research on that, there's strong connection with problem-solving skills, the ability to think through hard, complex problems, and answer hard questions because of the repetitions you're doing in problem-solving in gaming. All right, the dark side.
Relationships built or many relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. Strained relationship. It's addicting.
Yeah. Overuse.
Yeah. Overuse. Yeah. Yeah. Any of these technologies can be abused. Yeah. So
you don't have to live in reality.
You don't have to live in reality. That's the abuse, right? So it's addicting because instead of facing my real problems, I can go home and solve some quickly. I have Sudoku on my phone and a wonderful game. And chess as well. Two games I love to play. Hal, you have something you're burning.
Well, troubleshooting skills.
Yeah.
How many times have you heard, I think it's fine, but go to Google. But when you're really trying to understand something, you go to Google and you say, well, that's it, I got it. You've allowed someone to tell you instead of you really understanding.
Yeah.
From a biblical standpoint, the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, Google says this, we got it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I think that as we think about the intellect, especially, what is it doing to our minds? That's an important thing to discuss as we Google and look for answers online. Great point, Hal.
There's, in gaming, there's no real consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Consequences for your character, but through your life.
Yeah. The dark side. The footage I've seen of drones attacking U.S. soldiers and other soldiers across the world. It's a skill learned by doing this. And the disconnect between, there's something about a sword, right? You meet the man face to face that you're about to kill, and that's something different in your soul than if it's just a game. Anyways. Get emotional about that one. But, okay, so I think we've looked at just a few of these technologies that I listed and thought about how it affect how our desires are amplified, right? They're amplified. What I want, I can get more readily through these different technologies, right? And what I want can be really good. It can be a relationship with someone far away from me. It can be, oh, the convenience of being able to feed my family because I did a Walmart grocery order. And boy, is that convenient. Rather than taking those little urchins in. But anyways, there is desires, right, that are being amplified by these technologies. And you guys are probably judging me like, no, that's a negative thing, actually. You know, that you think, okay, maybe you should teach your kids not to go through a store and not touch everything. You might be right. But anyways, our desires are amplified. Our intellect, information is more readily available than any other age. And what Hal said is really important as we think of AI and Google. What are the benefits? What's the positive side to how technologies are amplifying our intellect?
Correctly,
it will do the exact same thing correctly over and over and over. So that can be a very time-saving.
Mm-hmm. It can be life-saving. Alan Turing, Imitation Game, the one who cracked the Enigma code through computing. He's a very prominent, important person in this whole discussion. But that was used for massive good to defeat the German forces. Okay, yeah, that's one way that we're able to amplify our power, our ability to solve, crack a code. Right, that's good.
Mm-hmm. You know, build a machine and it puts the same, it cuts the same piece and it, another piece puts it onto the same part and you don't have people accidentally moving it, but you know, it's, everything's precision oriented and you have a product.
Mm-hmm.
You make these chairs, you make clothing, we can produce items for use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it all takes technology.
Yeah. This gets really gray really quick, right? What's the benefit of me building a chair? Myself. What's the benefit of all these chairs being manufactured because of some computing, right? Really quickly, and you're all sitting comfortably here. I mean, it's an interesting thing to think about and really gray in a lot of ways. What's the benefit from going from fire to heating and air? I saw an interesting thing about, it was a video on YouTube about why we're so obese. And why it's not our fault. It's like, hey, this is nice to see. I want to watch this video. Why is it not our fault? Really interesting science applied here, and it was HVAC is one of those reasons. Our bodies burn a lot of calories, heating and cooling itself. Producing sweat is calorie consuming. Our body's going through that process, calorie consuming. All of us, here's a little science for you. All of us have a baseline amount of calories that we consume that our bodies burn up naturally without no additional exercise, right? Just simply being. You burn calories. Nice to know, right? You want to know what that number is as you are thinking about, I need to look at this certain way or, you know, have this certain health. Okay, what's my baseline? And sorry, women, it's smaller for you guys, more for men. But yeah, so we have HVAC, a technology that, wow, it's great that I'm not going to die of sunstroke, of heat stroke because I have HVAC, but I'm also getting fatter. I don't burn as many calories naturally. Interesting. And so I'm getting cancer. Wow. How gray is this? How gray is this? It's so gray. Okay, I feel like I'm on a rabbit trail, but really interesting things to consider. How information, medicine, right? Our ability to reduce human suffering through our technologies and medicine and the knowledge that we're able to draw upon in an instant, right? But drawing on them in an instant, as Hal was saying, what does that mean for us in our brains? And especially as we look at AI, and I can go to Lowe's, and Nathan gave me this example. Sorry if you're going to use it later, Nathan, but pull up my AI image computing device and take a picture of two different, shows my lack of skill in these areas in plumbing and really basic household things, but being able to do household fixes. But you take a picture of the rings that are underneath the toilet, and which one is made for this toilet? And what are the differences between the two? And he takes a picture and AI, and guess what? It was right. And he says, hey, what? He even asked a question. What about these ridges on here? The one I had before didn't have ridges. That's okay because yada, 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 and gives you the explanation. All right. Well, I didn't figure that out myself, Hal. I didn't learn it by trial and error, but thank goodness. Okay. For a dope like me in any of these kinds of fields where I'm trying to fix anything, I'm thankful for Google, okay? I'm thankful for the YouTube video. It's where I don't have to pay someone to do this. Oh, but then there's a dark side there. Who's losing their job? Oh, man. And then our will. Anything you want at the drop of a hat. Our technologies give us the ability to do a lot of things. Do I want Burger King at 11 o'clock at night and not want to go out and get it myself? Well, I just click a button, and here we go. Burger King is on the way at an exorbitant price through DoorDash. Okay, but we have anything we want, and what our desires are, and how we think, and what we do are all affected by our technologies. They're changing us as much as we're changing them. Powerful, powerful tools in our hands. So should we be, I think this leads perfectly into this question. Should Christians be optimistic or pessimistic? After you've listened to this seminar thus far, do you think that we should be optimistic about our technologies or pessimistic? I heard some yeses. Expand on that. Yeah. I gave you a little key to the test towards the beginning here. It can be used for God's glory. It absolutely can and will, I would say, and will be used for God's glory. Is our ability to have a world currency and facial recognition part of why we'll be able to have a worldwide price for bread as we see in Revelation? Big question we have to ask, right? And we're just all scared, like, oh, they're going to put some chips in us and it's the mark of the beast. Could be. Maybe not. Maybe so. God used tar both to save mankind, and mankind used tar to rebel. But did it stop God at all? I'm optimistic. It's hard to be. I started out this study, this Christianity technology, I would say almost everything I was seeing was doomsday. Isaiah 54, verses 16 and 17. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravager to destroy. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. I'm optimistic because he creates the creator, the shaper of these technologies. He made them. If he can confuse the language, what else can he do? What else can he do? When he measures up that Tower of Babel, sticking his head down there, what does he see of all these things? I made the one who made this tower, and I made the ravager to destroy. I made the one who uses these things for evil purposes or for good purposes and war. However you want to read the ravager to destroy. And what does he say about these things? That no weapon that is fashioned against you will succeed, and you will refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Will these technologies, this applies to what we were studying this morning, both in my ABF and a little bit in the sermon, but in Psalm 121, we talked about how God keeps us. He who keeps Israel will never slumber or sleep. He's awake and watchful at all moments. Is AI, are the drones, is our atomic power, are all these things going to be what ultimately does us in? He who watches and keeps Israel, the descendants of Abraham, as we saw in the Hebrews text this morning, which is us, he never slumbers or sleeps. And you will not, your foot will not slip or stumble. You won't sprain your ankle, and you will not, the sun will not strike you by day. The moon will not strike you at night either. He will keep you from all evil. He will keep you from all evil. And what Eugene Peterson, I said Jordan earlier this morning, I knew I was going to do that. Well, Eugene Peterson says that all the water in the world cannot sink a ship unless it gets inside of it. So all these creations, even the people who are using them for evil purposes, God says, I created them. I created the person who created these things, these technologies. I created them both. And no weapon that is fashioned against you will get into your soul. Right? We can perish. We can die. This whole earth can be wrecked by the clicking of a few buttons, sending the atomic bomb. But in the final analysis, you will refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Why? Why? Because of the cruel instrument of the cross. Jesus dies on a cruel piece of technology. And because of that, he stands and makes intercession for us, stands in our place. And so when Satan accuses us, when anyone accuses us, he will refute every single one of them. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. The one who made the technology, the one who made the person who uses it for bad purposes, it's all going to boil down to our vindication is from the Lord, the one who's powerful and in control and sovereign over all these things. Will keep us from all evil. So, as I look at these technologies, I'm actually pretty optimistic. And it's not because I'm optimistic in man. I'm not. I'm optimistic in God, who is the one who makes man, who sustains him, who makes the makers, who makes even the person who takes these things and uses it for evil purposes. This gives us about 5 minutes for discussion. Any questions, any pushback, any, I really want y'all to cover this in the next few weeks. I mentioned what Chris and Nathan are gonna cover, and then Rich is gonna do this in a Dawdling Faith. One of the technologies we didn't mention is our Bible app. I'm going through the Bible in a year through the Bible app. And it gives me nice reminders every day to take up and read. And I can listen to it in my car, or I can pull it out and read it on the spot. What am I giving up by doing that? It's a good question to ask. What are we giving up when that's our method for learning the scriptures? I hear a lot of people come up here and say, "Do you have your copy of the scriptures? Ink, paper on a pen, paper on ink on paper for us to read." Any questions? Any thoughts about this? Anything you want to cover? As we think of a dawdling faith, I'm thinking of Rich and what he might have to say about how we can use these technologies and walk together Godward.
I was just thinking that what a great opportunity we have to when we use these technologies. This scripture comes to mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, that says, I'll start with verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Verse 5, here it is. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You know, so what do we have? If it's a, and that's obviously the challenge and the charge to see life through the filter of the scriptures. So that I say, is this thought what I'm about to do? Really in obedience to Christ, and then that's where the wisdom that we live. Lord, help me be wise in my decisions of what I'm charging into. Is it glorifying you? Is it taking the thought captive to obedience?
Yes, very good, Max. As we utilize these technologies, man, we're so conditioned. You know, it's easy to define the flesh. We know what that's like, you know, the temptations that are well up inside of us, right? The devil, pretty familiar with his schemes, what he does. The world is what we live in. It's the air we breathe. And what it is right now is, I need the latest and greatest, right? Let's point that out about the world. We have these technologies coming at us left and right. What should I do? We need wisdom, right? We need wisdom. We need to take every thought captive. We need to pause before we pick up ChatGPT. Before we pick up this device and think, am I using this for God's glory, for my good? Yeah, good, really good thought, Max. Any other comments, burning thoughts?
some of us have the luxury to choose how much it's we adapt it, especially older folks. But as parents, we don't have that choice because it's not going to be an option for our children whether or not to use technology. I think about, you know, in Vietnam era, they had to fight with substances that soldiers in World War II didn't have to fight that battle. And it's, as a parent, you really don't have the choice not to educate yourself and how to utilize it and protect from it, because it's not going anywhere.
And we could, so as, you know, tech optimists versus pessimists, right? We, the pessimist tends to, I'm just not having anything to do with that, you know? I'm just Amish, right? You know, that these are, that God has taken over, or that Satan has taken over the electric grid, and he's going to rule the world through it, right? Yeah, I love what Reinke says about this. He says, I could sell you a book here about some doomsday stuff, right? But wisdom is saying, this stuff is here, it's going to be here, and can it be used for God's glory and my good? It's not just writing it all off, right? And I think that's a very wise approach, Adam, as we think about how we're going to parent, how we're going to raise up the kids, and how rapidly this stuff is changing. It's very quick.
They were virtuous and honorable, but their stance was unsuccessful.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not too worried about the world because God's in control. I have to worry about the distraction. Technology is a distraction. Television is a distraction. Games are a distraction. They just keep us from doing what God calls us to do.
Yeah. They at least have the potential for that, right? One of the chief developers in YouTube was recently on trial. And then the trial was, are you intentionally making this app addictive for kids? I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Get a grip, man. We know that you are. Everyone knows that you are. You're making this addictive for everyone, right? You're designing it so that we get pulled away from reality. Go ahead.
When we choose to do something, that means we're choosing not to do something else. And I agree with Brian that technology is
I'm waiting. I'm like looking and nodding, Kelly. I know.
What technology are we going to use? How much are we going to use of it? How long are we going to spend on it? And the question that Max said was, the answer to that would be, how much of it is going to go by the Lord?
And listen, recreation is not evil, okay? We just have to be really wise about, is this going to start taking over my life? I had a Xbox as a teenager, and if you had an Xbox growing up, probably not most of you. There is this thing that happened called the Red Ring of Death. When you turn it on, it was green, and that means you're about to play, right? Everything's a go. And then sometimes there would be a red flashing light that's telling you that the Xbox has something wrong, and then you usually, you know, turn it off back on. Or maybe we can go to the cartridge gaming. You guys remember? Stomp that thing in there, wiggle it just right, and then turn it on. Like, it's on! Okay. I got the Red Ring of Death, which means it's a solid red ring. Your Xbox is toast. And I was reading the scriptures for the first time as a teenager. I remember the Spirit guiding me and saying, Good. Don't buy another one. You don't need it. It's distracting you from what you could be doing. You're spending too much time on this. But then I met my closest friends through the same tool, an Xbox 360. No red rings of death. They fixed that issue.
You didn't listen.
I grew up and got wiser. Go ahead.
Only God knows the heart of a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Where are we at in our Lord, the Holy Spirit in Christ? Brian brings up a good point. You brought up the 22 is what are we going to get caught up in? I'm not going to blame a big company for trying to get me to follow what
I
want. What I'm going to do is blame myself if I don't look at where my heart's at and where I am with Christ. What I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it really comes down to, a personal walk with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because there hasn't been anything created for war that hasn't been used. There hasn't been anything created for the good of man that hasn't been used for the bad. And that's from Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
On.
Yeah.
And so we're in nothing new, really. We just think we're pretty smart because I remember what you just said. We got our first phone in our house. And it rang. It was like, oh my gosh, now look what we walk around with.
Yeah. No, it's the heart of man. I mean, if there's anything, I'm pessimistic about what's in the heart of man. Apart from Christ, I'm pessimistic.
Amen.
I'm optimistic about what's in the heart of man when God gets a grip of him. So truly, I am. And Kelly, can I use you as an illustration? I was waiting for you to talk about. I know we're a little bit over, but we both love Harry Potter, and you can judge me. It's okay. Truly, I don't care. It'll be all right. we can have a discussion later. But she was showing me this game that she's playing and this YouTube video about like how you can do this game differently in the Harry Potter world. What's it called? I didn't get your permission, did I? Did I truly get your permission? I don't want to make you red in the face or anything. I'm sorry. But how much time should I spend building this world in Harry Potter? It's fun. It's beautiful, right? It's a lot of fun. These games aren't. Okay, I'm on a rabbit trail, but really, every single one of us, even Kelly, your financial secretary, it is affecting us all, okay? We have to be wise about this, guys, for real.
Private schools in Silicon Valley where CEOs of these technology companies send their children and they're not allowed to have laptops, no phones, no electronics. It's all books and classes.
This is a funny picture. Could be AI. Mark Zuckerberg with a piece of tape over his laptop camera. Yeah. He knows. He knows if anyone knows.
Toys for their kids. They wanted to have the Krat engine and technology so that their farms would work, so that they would have more time with their kids, and their kids wouldn't have this. And we always. So now you've got hundreds of people writing code, so that people can sit and play Harry Potter games with their kids. You know, I mean, there's people will work. They will find something to do, and we're gonna. It's taking the job of a bank teller. It's taking the job of a car. Person who put everything together at the original thing, there is taking those jobs, but you've got tons of people learning to fix the computer, write the code that it works on, train the AI, keep it from going off rail and hallucinating and all the things. So there will be jobs. They will be different.
Yeah. Thank you for your optimism in that. Tony Reinke, as I discovered as I read the book, is actually his grandfather was big into tech. Specifically out in the Midwest, he created a really sophisticated irrigation system for the farms. So are you thankful for the food you can readily get, okay? Technology is the reason why, right? He's trying to solve a problem that man has, exercise dominion over creation. So thank you for the optimistic perspective. He is also optimistic. Highly recommend the book. we're 7 minutes over, so I'm going to dismiss us, guys. Please, if you have any questions or anything that you want addressed, we would love to hear that from you guys as we think about the way it's affecting our brain, learning, education, and a dawdling faith. Those are the next three to come. So please send me an email. Send Chris or Nathan or Rich an email as well. Thank you, guys.